So as Keith mentioned, not everybody can lobby, but everyone can be an advocate. So I'm going to go over a couple things really quickly. We'll talk about today why advocacy matters, how to get involved, APHA's advocacy activities, and then the resources that we provide to help you be an advocate. So why advocacy matters? Public health really needs a face. As many of you know, public health programs are very broad, they're complex, and they're integrated into daily lives. So a lot of times, other people who are not involved in public health don't have the understanding of what public health really is and how it impacts their day-to-day, daily activities. Advocates, they have the ability to shape the national debate. There can be from the grassroots and the public health professionals talking about what is public health and really informing and educating not only the public but also members of Congress as well. And members of Congress really do listen to their constituents, A, because it's important for them, and because they care about the constituents, but also B, because constituents vote for them, and their job is to get reelected. And that's something that they find very important. The members of the House of Representatives, they're getting reelected every 2 years, in the Senate every 6 years. Every day, they're trying to gain support, they're trying to get some funding, and they want to secure their job. So they are listening to the constituents and seeing what's important, and it's very important for public health professionals, people who know about public health, to really hold their feet to the fire, tell them this is important to us and this is necessary for our communities to be healthy, to be successful. So advocates they can educate members of Congress by talking about both local data, what's important, what's going on in the state, in the district, and also talking about those local stories. The local stories are very important, and that's how you also put a face to public health. It's not just, if you know Don Hoppert, he's the director of government relations, APHA, and myself, we go to the Hill all the time, but we're just two more suits lobbying about public health. But when you get people who are actually in public health, who are doing this on a day-to-day basis, talking about public health and how the work that they do impacts the community, that makes a big impression on the members of Congress. So you can become a very good resource to the staff talking about these issues and building that relationship, because that's what's really important. And it's also remembering that, as we all know, the budget climate is very tight right now. When I was working in the Senate last year and people would come in to advocate for their programs, it was very difficult but to tell each program, look, we were cutting into the fat and now we're cutting into the bone. We're cutting out essential programs that are extremely important, and we understand the importance. So members of Congress are constantly having to prioritize programs and reprioritize. So it's important to constantly get in front of them and remind them how important public health is, and that if you cut the funding at this end, down the road, that's going to have a major impact too, and that's going to be additional spending for the government. And it's very important to have that unified voice that supports those critical public health programs. And also remembering not to pit one program against another, say that this one cancer program is so much more important than, you know, research or community-based, that we're a unified voice in public health and that we support each other, and that's how we can move forward and advance. It's also important to support those champions of public health, those senators, the representatives that are already out there on the forefront, such as Senator Harkin from Iowa, always standing up there in front of everybody else supporting public health. So say thank you to them, support them. But also remember all of those many unsupportive members of Congress. Don't thank them. If they haven't done what we want them to do, they shouldn't be thanked. They shouldn't be getting awards and recognized. They need to know what's important to their constituents and that we will defend the programs. So looking at different ways of how to get involved, a lot of times it's I want to advocate, but I'm not quite sure when, how, where to do it. So it's learning the process and how to influence the process. The bill gets introduced. That's a great time to get in there to say, look, that looks good to me. That looks like it would really support our public health programs, but maybe we can also look at adding this, or maybe this would actually have a big impact on health disparities that in the other direction that they were first thinking about. So looking at the bill introduction, the start of a legislative session, we have members of Congress and committees, the Health Committee particularly, comes to APHA and says, look, we're going to set our legislative priority for the upcoming session. What are your priorities? What do you see as important priorities? So we also look to our members and other public health advocates to see, since you're on the ground, what are those issues that are of utmost importance? And we bring that to Congress so we can also help build that bridge. And other good times are the regulatory comment period and newly released data. And again, our government relations team at APHA is very lean, strong but lean. It's me and Don, and that's about it. So we really depend on everybody out there to come to us. We can't track every piece of legislation. We can't track every regulatory comment. So bringing it to us, we're always very willing to look at every aspect. You know, it's really that two-way street, and we depend on that, especially you as experts in every field. I'm a generalist, I like to say. I know a little bit about some things, not even a lot of things. So we really depend on everybody out there that's working very deep in the weeds on these different issues to bring these issues to us and to let us know, look, we don't think this is a good idea, or we need to make this comment and have it known. And a lot of times, if it is a priority for APHA, we will support it, and we'll put APHA's name on that comment. Other ways to get involved: through correspondence, phone calls, letters, emails. Call your members of Congress. Write to them. Snail mail or email. Public events, you can go attend town halls, public meetings, local events. Media, writing letters to the editor, op-eds, doing radio shows or social media. And then meetings, if you're in D.C., you can meet in D.C. in the office, or you can go to the district offices when your members of Congress are back in their state or districts, or meet with their staff. And then also invite them to visit your program so they actually see what's going on, how it works. They start meeting those people in their community and seeing how those programs impact them. And don't worry, I know this is a list, and some of them don't seem very easy, but we actually provide a lot of resources to help you do these things. So I'll go over that in just a minute. How many? Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but before you get too far along, could you clarify the difference between advocacy and lobbying?
Keith, can I have you do the
sure.
More of the definition?
Okay.
The definition between advocacy and lobbying.
Yeah, I'm just gonna.
Sure.
Okay. So these are like a list of different types of activities. A lot of these can be advocacy, but not necessarily lobbying. So when you're lobbying, you are actually like what Nicole is maybe talking about is like you're actually referring to a specific piece of legislation. It might be a bill. It might be something that your congressman or congresswoman can address. So if you approach that office talking about a specific bill and your opinion about that bill, and that's it, then you know that's lobbying. So just looking at just kind of the very simple, sort of the very direct lobbying approach. Now, a lot of these activities are actually just advocacy. And the difference between just a lobbying activity and advocacy is that advocacy is a much, much broader array of activities. I mean, you might be advocating for a lot of different things. You might be advocating for better food in schools. You might be advocating for less tobacco, or you might be advocating for healthier kids. I mean, there's a lot of things that you could be advocating for in front of your elected official that may have nothing to do with specific legislation. So there's a lot of advocacy activities on here that a lot of organizations engage in, but you're just not really talking about actual legislation. You're not asking them to take action with legislation. They might get encouraged to do more, or the public might get encouraged to do more because you're advocating for certain things, but that's not specifically lobbying. When you think about your advocacy strategies, lobbying is usually, again, just a very small part of it. I mean, lobbying is actually the very tail end of an advocacy campaign, because usually a lot of times you're talking about big picture policy issues, you're talking about health issues, you're talking about a lot of things that are not actually legislation. But then when it gets down to maybe you do want to see some sort of action taken by the government, then that's kind of when you do sort of get into the more the lobbying, when there's an actual bill or an actual model that you want them to enact or something like that. So that's usually the very end of the advocacy campaign. Yeah.
I just want to add to that as well. I work for organizations in both advocate and lobby. And I don't know if I mentioned that. I talked about Congress, but that also works in the state and local level as well.
Yeah.
So to be clear, some of these things may be lobbying. If they're all advocacy, some may be lobbying, but not all of them.
Yeah, so you have to look at your very specific activities. So it's again, those just kind of four things, whether you're talking about a specific legislative proposal, whether it's a bill or an ordinance or something like that. You're directly communicating, email, one-on-one, telephone call, something like that. And then it's with some sort of government official who's involved with the legislative process. So it could be the staff member on the committee, it could be the actual elected official, or it could be, someone at the CDC who's involved with drafting legislation. But it's kind of those three things that specific activity, then that's lobbying. Everything sometimes before that, like if you're going on TV shows, going on a TV show or radio show talking about legislation, you're not actually talking directly to an elected official. You're just talking to the radio host. I mean, so that's, you can talk about legislation, for the entire hour if you wanted to and advocate for that. But unless you're talking to the elected official, you're not actually lobbying. Another one is like correspondence. I mean, the correspondence could be with the elected official, and if that's the case, are you actually talking to them about specific legislation? If you're only advocating about a health issue that's going on in your community, you can be advocating for, changing, the way schools provide food. I mean, but that doesn't mean that Congress is actually going to do something about it. You don't even know. You're just providing a lot of advocacy out there to try to change how food is provided in schools.
We always say that all lobbying is advocacy, but not all advocacy is lobbying. You don't enter the range of lobbying until you deal with a specific legislation, a specific action, et cetera.
Right.
And that kind of helps see that the same way the community goes from the larger advocacy to the more, subset.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like a gigantic Venn diagram. It's like there's big policy, and then there's advocacy, and then there's like lobbying. Yeah, and that's the little part of that, of policy and advocacy, is lobbying.
Okay. Thank you, Keith. I thought it was better to turn it over to the lawyer, not the registered lobbyist. Okay, so how many have heard about the Public Health Action Campaign, FACT? Okay, good. At some point, I would like it to be 100%, so that's what we're kind of pushing towards. It's APHA's annual Congressional Summer Recess Grassroots Advocacy Campaign, and we try to engage affiliates, APHA members, and other public health advocates. And we have our APHA priorities, sorry about that, and we really try to mobilize the advocates to talk about increasing funding for public health agencies supporting prevention and public health fund, and then strengthening nutrition and hunger programs in the Farm Bill reauthorization. And again, some of these are specific pieces of legislation, but if it's carried out also as a constituent and not on your work time, then that also does differentiate what you can talk about. We provide, APHA provides a lot of toolkits and other advocacy resources that I will touch on in just a moment. So some of our successes, we had some great successes from the advocates this past year. We had letters to the legislators from Ohio, Montana, Iowa, Maine, and Mississippi. We had many letters to the editor and op-eds published in Montana, Ohio, Nebraska, North Dakota, and congressional meetings in Montana, Ohio, Mississippi, and Iowa. So there was a lot of activity and action. Some of it was very broad, just talking about public health and getting in front of the members of Congress to talk about the importance, and then inviting them back to their programs in the state and in the district. And this was all done when the senators and representatives were back in their state in August. So this picture right here is actually of Senator Tester and some of the Montana public health affiliates and other public health advocates meeting with him and just talking about the importance of public health and building that relationship with him. So some of the APHA advocacy activities that are carried out by our members, our letters to Congress, to the White House, to federal agencies this past year, over 50 were sent. There were also regulatory comments. We had 8 different comments submitted on issues including the Clean Air Act regulations, antibiotics in agriculture, influenza vaccines, and sodium reduction. A lot of these things are very nuanced, and so we did depend a lot on our APHA members. We'll send out emails to sections, to the leaders, and asking them to also weigh in on this and to make sure that we are on track. How many people receive action alerts? And how many people take action? Okay, good, good. We actually have about a 3% action rate. Yeah, that was my face too when I first heard that. So actually that's pretty standard on action alerts across the board in all industries. But we would like to push that a little bit higher. We had 25,000 sent in the past year, talking about 14 different activities, and a lot touch on funding. They reflect the congressional activity, and all of them, you can simply fill out just your name and what district you're from, essentially your address, and you can hit send, and it'll go directly to your members of Congress. There are portions where you can edit the message if you would like to put in local information, which is very helpful. It shows that what's going on in your district, in your state, and sometimes that is helpful for your member of Congress. To back up a little bit, I know a lot of people say, well, each action alert looks like the other one, and what's the purpose of sending this? Do members of Congress see these? Does it make a difference? And it does. When I was working in the Senate Help Committee, our legislative correspondent every week would summarize how many letters came in on each issue, and we would have letters in support and in opposition. And essentially, we just totaled how many were in support and how many were in opposition. And it was fascinating to see some of the ones that would come in and really where people would mobilize, they would be up in arms about a certain issue. And a lot of times it's when it's in opposition, such as repealing certain provisions of the Affordable Care Act. But sometimes we forget, even though it's law, that it can be repealed. And so a lot of the advocates who are against it are speaking out in opposition, and we forget to speak out in support of it and to continue sending those letters. And when you see 50,000 show up on a Monday morning opposing it and 2 supporting it, it makes it's a big voice right there, and we have the ability to influence that. So I would encourage everybody and put in a little plug to try to take action when you can. I know everybody is overwhelmed with a lot of other action alerts they receive from other organizations. But if it is a priority to you, please, please do take action. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Call this person today or right now or within the hour. Is there some way, I don't know why they always come so last minute, like I don't have nothing else to do for the day but answer action alerts. But I'm just wondering, is there some sort of planning involved in that? Can they timely do it more in a timely manner or...
Yes, yes. Thank you for bringing that up. We try to as best as possible. A lot of times some things are very last minute when they happen on the Hill. And as soon as we get word of that, we try to push out an action alert. So we try to be as timely as possible and try to give it where it's 2 weeks. But that doesn't always happen. So unfortunately, yeah. In terms of, we also encourage Hill visits whenever you're in D.C., and we're happy to organize those meetings as well. Last year, we had 175 Hill visits by APHA members. We even had some offices say, we've heard from too many APHA members. Can you give us a little bit of a break? That's a good thing. We like that. We want more offices telling us that. Like I said before, the advocates become a resource for the staff. They share materials, data, local stories. Once you start building that relationship, also they'll start reaching out to you and touching base with you and asking you for that data, for that research. And that's really important to continue building those relationships. So just really quickly, keys to a successful meeting. Before going in there, make sure you research their position. So you can also frame it in terms of what's important to that member of Congress. Are they looking at jobs? Job loss. We can definitely couch, you know, funding for public health in terms of, since 2008, we've lost about 52,000 high-skilled public health jobs. So bringing that to the forefront, or maybe they're concerned more about families, mothers, just really couching the issue in terms of what's important to them, what they're really trying to push out, what's their platform. Go in with a speaking agenda, have an ask and make an ask. When you sit down with the staff person, usually you'll be sitting down with a staffer and not with the actual member of Congress. They're expecting you to ask something of them. And it's okay to ask them, this is what I want, but it's also okay just to go in and say, I just want to let you know our organization exists. I can provide this information for you. This is what's going on right now in our community. And just starting to get in front of them in that sense. Just be prepared for questions, and it's okay to let them know if you don't have it, but just follow up, and follow up also, keep bugging them. They get inundated with a lot of requests, so keep touching base, and let them know that you're still there, and follow up if you have, you know, new release data, send it to them so you remind them that you're there to support them. So some of our resources, I don't know if you guys have seen yet, but we have a new infographic. And we're hoping that this can also be used as a tool to start showing what is public health. And when I've gone to members of Congress, to their staffers, and I ask them, what is public health to you? And they tell me Medicaid and Medicare. Like, okay. And this is their health person, their health legislative assistant. So it's also remembering that sometimes the health legislative assistant is also covering issues on education, on foreign affairs, on funding appropriations. They're covering the whole gamut. And so sometimes taking that step back and just talking to them about what is public health, what is prevention, and how it works in their community. So we're hoping that this also visual graphic can help you do that as well. We have also some sample questions this is all on our website. If you go to our advocacy site on APHA, we have sample questions to ask at public health events, at public events, sample letters to the editor and op-eds. These are not on our website, but if you contact us, we'll send them to you. We found that if we have them posted on our website and newspapers catch wind of that, they will not publish your letter. So if you reach out to us, we'll send it to you. And then you can make any adjustments. You can fill in quick state information, community information, and make it specific to your community. We also have voting records on public health legislation how your member of Congress has voted on those priority issues. Fact sheets on public health issues that are also state-specific are action alerts, again, and now our infographic. Are there any questions? Okay. Thank you for coming. I know this is also lunchtime and nap time and everything else. So if you have any other questions for Keith or myself, you can follow up with either email or phone call. Thank you very much.